The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Today is the first Sunday of Lent, and Lent is a time that's very much like Advent. Remember that Advent is the time that we use to prepare ourselves for the celebration of the Incarnation. Advent is that four-week period that precedes Christmastide, where we get ready for the coming of the Lord. But Advent is just as much about preparing for Christ's second coming as it is His first coming. Because we're thinking about Jesus coming as a baby in Advent, but we're also thinking into the future about Jesus coming again as conquering King. Advent prepares us for that. In the early church, they turned to the season of the celebration of the resurrection, the season of Eastertide, with great devotion and piety. And we have accounts from the early church, I'm thinking of 5th and 6th century, of diaries that pilgrims kept as they went to the Holy Land to be there, especially in Jerusalem during Holy Week. And there's a wonderful Spanish lady named Egeria who kept a diary, and she talks about all the things that they did during Holy Week. And so you can imagine pilgrims coming to Jerusalem. By the way, if you've ever seen a cross that has a big giant cross in the center and one little cross in each of the four quadrants, have you ever seen one of those? A total of five crosses? That's called the Jerusalem cross or the Pilgrim's cross. And it's especially a good one to wear during the season of Lent, because those pilgrims to Jerusalem in the early church would have worn a similar cross. It stands for the traditional five wounds of Jesus, and they would have worn that as they went to Jerusalem. Lent became a time where pilgrims prepared and went toward Jerusalem for this pilgrimage, but it also became a time in the early church where those who were being prepared for baptism would really get down to brass tacks and start really diving in deeper to their studies. I think I've mentioned to you before that in the early church, sometimes it was, two or three years of catechesis or study to prepare for entrance into the church. And then when you get to Lent, the preparation before resurrection, they really would really dive in even more. And there would be fasting and repentance and prayers of repentance and acts of penitence. And then on Easter Sunday morning, they would be baptized and celebrate their first communion, which is in keeping with what we do here at Epiclesis. I know of two baptisms now we'll be celebrating on Easter Sunday morning. And of course, all of us will together renew our baptismal vows. So Lent is a time of preparation in a similar way that Advent is a time of preparation. And this particular year in Lent, as we prepare for Eastertide, I'm calling this series Profiles in Perseverance. And if you haven't already, I want to make sure that you pick up a copy of the devotional booklet. If you don't have a copy, you need to go to the website and download one. But what I wanted to do this morning was just sort of briefly lay out the theme for you for the season of Lent, show you some at least two scriptures, and then also give kind of a preview of what's coming in the next few weeks. By the way, Lent is 40 days, but yet there are 45 days within it. How does that work? Well, there are five Sundays during the season of Lent, and those are not technically counted as days of Lent, because Sundays are always kind of a mini resurrection Sunday, a mini celebration. And so you don't count the Sundays. That's why there are 45 days of Lent. But there are going to be five Sundays. Today is the first one. And then for the next four Sundays, I've asked four guest speakers to come and talk to us about their own profile in perseverance. I didn't necessarily plan it this way, but it turned out that all four of them are women, and I wanted to introduce them to you at least by telling you about them today, and then you can be on the lookout for them in the coming weeks. First of all, next Sunday, my own wife, Sheila, will be speaking during the teaching time, and here are the details. It says, our special guest teacher today, this is for next week, is Sheila Alford. She's familiar with the word perseverance. Through many trials and especially two debilitating and elusive illnesses, she learned to persevere in prayer while leaning on God's promises. In the process, God healed her of both illnesses and taught her to trust him even when circumstances said otherwise. So that's next Sunday. The Sunday after that is also another one of our own, Heather Bowes. And here are the details about that Sunday. Our special guest for today is another one of our own, Heather Bowes. She writes, "Two of the times I've been asked to practice perseverance, I reacted with completely different attitudes. At 36, I ended up hating God and blaming him for what happened to me as a little girl. I went completely dark. And then again, at 46, all gnarled up in alcoholism, I surrendered to God, leaned deeply into him, and became free, free of all my life's hurt and pain." So that's 2 weeks from now. On the fourth Sunday, a friend of mine from a previous church, Michelle Zumwalt, is our guest. And she continues the theme of perseverance. She recently released a book called Ruby Shoes. And she tells in that book about her struggle to overcome prescription drug addiction and gives hope that others can also overcome the stronghold of addiction in their lives. And her story is a powerful testimony of what God can do when we persevere in him. The final Sunday, the one that wraps up the whole series, is a friend to me and to some in our congregation, Marlene Shirley. And if you know anything about Marlene's story, you know she had to do a lot of persevering. Here are a few details. Our last profile in perseverance is seen in special guest Marlene Shirley. Marlene is a woman who has persevered through multiple trials, including an adult child's death and her own battle with cancer. She didn't mention that she also survived a terrible automobile accident that killed one other person, maybe even two, who were with her in that same wreck. How did she do it? Her story is all about God's sheltering arms, his overwhelming joy in sorrow, his provisions in the time of need, and the unwavering love of friends and family. So I want you to get a copy of the devotional booklet and be on the lookout for that. And I want you to prepare ahead of time for those services. Here's how I want you to do that. Every week on Thursday, I send out a little email, and I call it the worship prep email. And in that email, I give you a little heads up about what the theme is for the coming Sunday. And then over on the right-hand side, there's a little column with some quick links. And one of those links takes you to a page on our website where you can always get the scripture that we're going to be looking at for that particular Sunday. Now, here's why it's important, especially through Lent. One of the things is we can all be on the same page. I think that's really, really helpful. And I think worship is more powerful, and our sharing time in teaching is more powerful when we're sort of all on the same page. But I've also asked each of these special guest speakers to look at the texts, the lectionary texts for that day, and see how and where they can see God's perseverance in their lives and their perseverance in him. And I think it's going to be really fascinating for you also to pour over those same scriptures in preparation for our Sunday. A couple of thoughts for you. Last night, I looked up the dictionary definition of the word perseverance. Anybody want to take a stab at what perseverance means? You know, I love words and I love dictionaries and stuff like that. What do you think perseverance might mean? Yes, Nancy. Keep on keeping on. Yeah. Anybody else? Perseverance, yes. Pursuing a worthy goal. I love the way he added the word worthy. Because sometimes we think about our perseverance when really we're not after something worthy at all. Even when you don't feel like it. Is that what you said? Something like that? Anybody else? Perseverance. Yes. Grit. Okay. Oh, that's really interesting. Did you hear what Kata said? She said for her, perseverance is not so much about the now, but did you say long term? Right. Yeah. It's easy to get sort of awash in your own current circumstances, isn't it? And in some ways, it's our default position. How else do we live except in the right now? But perseverance, Kata says, maybe has something more to do with that way. Here's the definition I've found. Ready? Perseverance is steadfastness in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. Let me read that again. Now, this is the secular dictionary definition, okay? Steadfastness in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. I want you to focus on two words. The two words are something and success. Highlight those. Do you have a highlighter in your mind? And you're highlighting those right now. Let me read it again. Steadfastness in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. What I want us to do during the season of Lent is to see if we can figure out what is the something. What is the thing? What is the something? And what is success? Bill said something a minute ago about a worthy goal. And now here's this definition that says steadfastness in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. I want us to be thinking as a sort of put this umbrella over the whole season of Lent. What is the something? We're supposed to have steadfastness in doing something. What is that? Despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. I want you to go back and look at the Deuteronomy passage that Kata read earlier. It's Deuteronomy 26, 1 through 11. We're talking about perseverance. We're talking about doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. And as we ask ourselves that question all through Lent, we can begin by asking ourselves that question with today's text from Deuteronomy. How in the world could we learn anything worthwhile at all by looking at some dusty piece of scripture from the ancient past with some people who were out in the desert? Boy, God's word comes alive when we ask Him, and I'm going to show you. I want you to get the picture. The children of Israel are not yet in the promised land. They aren't even there yet. They haven't even arrived. That means they're where? They're out in the wilderness. And there's a whole bunch of them. And they're being given some instructions about what's going to happen when they get into the promised land. That's kind of like if in 4 years from now, you were going to take a trip to Morocco, and I sat you down and said, now, when you get to the Kasbah in Morocco, I want you to do this and this. And don't forget that you should also this and that. And by the way, the spices there are amazing. So you can imagine that you'd be going, I guess this is helpful information, but gee, I can't even really put my hands around that right now because I'm kind of focused on where I am at the moment. I'm in the desert in this particular case. And here come these instructions about something that's not even happened yet. Verse 1, when you have entered the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance and have taken possession of it and settled in it, take some of the first... Wait a minute. When you have what? Look at that. When you have entered the land as an inheritance and have taken possession of it and settled in it, what do we already learn about that which will happen in the future? Are they just going to show up and it's given to them? Evidently not. Moses is giving the people some instruction and says, there's going to be a time where you go over into the promised land and you can't just walk in and it's yours because you've got to enter it and you've got to settle it and you've got to take possession of it. There's going to be some work involved. They're learning an awful lot about their future in a short amount of time. Take some of the first fruits, verse 2, of all that you produce from the soil of the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and put them in a basket. And then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for His name, and say to the priest and office at the time, hold on, wait a minute. There's going to be a time where we're going to go into a land that we haven't even seen yet, and we've got to enter it, and we've got to take possession of it, and we've got to settle it, and then evidently we're also going to plant some crops. And then, after we tend those crops, and after they come up, then He's giving us some instructions about how we should take some of that stuff, and then we're going to take it to a place inside of a place that we've never even imagined yet, and then we're going to give some dialogue. Wait a minute, does somebody have a notepad? I got to write all this stuff down. Then you go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for His name and say to the priest at the time, halfway verse 3, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land the Lord swore to our forefathers to give us. And the priest shall take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. And then you shall declare before the Lord your God, here's some more stuff you're supposed to remember. My father was a wandering Aramean and he went down into Egypt and with a few people lived there and became a great nation. Powerful and numerous, but the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, putting us to hard labor, and then we cried out to the Lord. the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with miraculous signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, O Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. What's happening there? Talk to me. What's happening? Yeah. There's so much time being warped here, you almost get your neck snapped around. Wait a minute. Right now, we're in the desert, and I'm looking around, and all I've got to drink is water, and all I've got to eat is manna and some occasional quail, and I am sick of manna. And now Moses is telling us about this land that we're going to go possess. And we got to work for it, evidently. I can't even begin to imagine that. And on top of that, we're going to raise crops and we're going to bring first fruits to some temple. I'm not sure. There's going to be a priest there. And then there's a bunch of stuff I'm supposed to say. And part of what I'm supposed to say has to do with, wait a minute, now I understand. And he turns around the other direction and says, yeah, because back there, God brought us out of Egypt with an outstretched arm. He saw our toil and our misery and the slavery and the stuff that we had to put up with. That was horrible. And God surely brought us out of that with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Okay. And then notice it goes right by our current time and into the future again and says, and he brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Wait a minute, we're not there yet. Hold on, what's happened here? For me, the bottom line of this story is that God says, in a very similar way to what Kata said earlier, that perseverance has more to do with looking ahead than it does about where you are in the right here and now. But there's another piece to it. And that other piece is to turn around on your heel and look backwards. Sometimes the most clarifying vision you can have in this life is when you look backwards. Because you can see how God has arranged each of the marvelous, smooth, flat stepping stones across the river for you to get from there to here. And oh my goodness, how the world beguiles us into concentrating mainly on where we are right now and what we have or don't have right now. The world has written perseverance right out of the story. Because the world says you ought to be happy right now. I was reading some quotes from a famous megachurch pastor's book last night. I won't name the name because I don't want you to think I'm making fun. I'm not. But it made me profoundly sad because it was all about how you could have plenty and be happy right here and now. And how God wants you to be happy. And I think he even uses, yes, prosperous right now. You know what? That's just not really good Bible. Because God says, I used to have you back there. And in the future, that's where you're going to be. And right now, I don't want you to look at your surroundings. I want you to think about perseverance. The definition of the word perseverance in the dictionary is steadfastness in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. I'm going to ask you the question. In this particular story that we just read, the instructions that the children of Israel are getting before they've even entered into the promised land, what is the something? Steadfastness in doing something. What's the something? Getting to the promised land. All right. What else? Possessing the land, inheriting that which is theirs, staying focused on God, keeping the faith. Is that what you said? I like that. Yes?
Staying the course.
That's good, Bob, because they've not even actually got into the land yet. So at this particular time, I think perseverance for them means steadfast in staying the course, focusing on God, being obedient to Yahweh. Steadfastness in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. What is the success in this case? Actually arriving in the promised land. So right now, if you find yourself in the desert, if you find yourself sick to death of manna and quail and water, if you find yourself in a desolate place, in Jesus' name, get your eyes off those circumstances and wheel around and look backwards and see where you've come from, and wheel around and look forward, and with faith, know that God has something else for you to do. And it's not necessarily about you being wealthy or prosperous or happy. Sorry, it's just not. But it is about you participating with Him and His purposes for the world. And in the meantime, I'm going to call me to perseverance, steadfast in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. Ask yourself, what is the something and what is success? Turn to 2 Thessalonians 3:5. The second letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 3 and verse 5. Actually, I'm going to start from verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, and He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. Can I get an amen about that up in here? We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. And look at this wonderful verse. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and what? Yeah, Christ's perseverance. So maybe we've learned today that our rejoicing is in the Lord and perseverance is somehow bound up in Christ. Steadfastness in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. I'm going to ask you during this season of Lent, what is the something and what is success? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I give you thanks for the day and for the opportunity to open your word and see how you have led your people thus far. I pray, Lord, that we would be found faithful to your word, to our preparation for Sundays and the Sunday gathering. Lord, also to this wonderful study that we are embarking this week as we learn about how your word has been transmitted and understood and interpreted through the ages. And I pray especially this morning for your blessing on this season of Lent, and especially for our four guest teachers who will be joining us. I pray that you would use them to reflect upon the scripture, to show us something about perseverance. And we'll be quick to rejoice in you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an Ancient Future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about Ancient Future faith or worship at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.